welcome to the Real Estate Experts Podcast with Jacob and Jennifer Fries, head of the Fries Group. Today, in today's podcast, we are going to talk about the seven ways top agents plan their best year ever. I'm Jacob.
And I'm Jennifer.
So seven ways top agents plan their best year ever and how you can too. So Jennifer, why don't you kick that off here?
Well, here we are. We're trying to get ready for 2024. And we're in 2024. And so the first thing that I like to think about is what can we give versus what can we get? And so when I say that, I think of, you know, client satisfaction. You know, that's truly important to our business. A positive client experience. And then we need to build trust. And then we need to think about the relationship rather than it just being transactional. So those are keys.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's dive deeper into that. So talk to me more about client satisfaction.
Well, I think one of the things that would be really important, you know, for a client would be just how we communicate. You know, I like to ask the client, what's the best form of communication for you? Do you like text message? Do you want email? Do you want me to talk to you? I mean, they're going to get an experience with me where they're going to get all of that. And I think one of the things is knowing how they want to be touched is the most important.
Yeah. And really with like email, some people are on it all day, every day, and they're right on it. And then other people, they kind of ignore email. So
right,
that's kind of important to know.
And then some people, they want to talk to you. I mean, they want that direct conversation. And so you just need to know that. So whatever their preference is, I mean, that's just, you know, communication is key in this business. And so how are you going to communicate?
Yeah.
So
yeah. Positive client experience. So tell me, Jennifer, in your mind, what is the way to have a perfect positive client experience?
So a positive client experience is going to be lots of things. I mean, there's just so many things that goes into that. But I think one of the things is that people really don't know what we do. And so one of the things, you know, rolling out is, I mean, I have a list of 184 things that a realtor does for you. And I think, but people don't know what you do. And so if we tell people what we're doing and we explain what we're doing and why we're doing it, I mean, the experience is so different. But again, there's the communication and then explaining the process and how it's going to be done and what you're going to do. So, and you want it to be a pleasant experience. I mean, not every bit of information that you're going to give that client is going to be exactly what they want to hear. Keep that in mind. And so you have to be really transparent and honest and upfront and give them just the facts, but at the same time, do it in a nice way. You know,
well, and help set expectations.
Well, you know, I don't know. I just build relationships. And so it's really hard for me not to have empathy. You know, I'm there for the person, you know, and their situation and what's going on and just trying to make it the best experience that they can have, you know, whether they're buying or selling or the situation, you know, when someone's going through a divorce, it's not a good situation. And when someone has lost a loved one, you know, it's just being there for them through those experiences. But at the same time, sometimes we're having a baby and we're buying a house and we're excited, you know, and we're relocating to a new city. I mean, all those things are a lot of fun things too. But just being there for them through those times and explaining what you're doing and how you're doing it and why you're doing it.
Well, and that comes into play your buyer and seller packets, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And, you know, that goes right back into, you know, having all of your stuff look very cohesive, you know, and that is definitely one level of building trust. So when you come in and you say, hey, this is how we're going to do this transaction. This is what you can expect. This is when I'm going to call you. This is what you're going to receive from me. And then all your material and all the things that you're doing and everything that you're saying, everything mimics it. And it looks like you, it sounds like you. And so that brand really is who you are. Then people are like, you know what? I think I can trust these people. And this happened in this transaction and it wasn't perfect. However, she did what she said she was going to do. She showed up and she's continued to stay in touch and tell me everything I need to know.
Well, and that goes into building trust for sure. Because as you said, having a cohesive marketing material, bringing that all in and full circle, but then you start backing up your marketing material. So it's not just for marketing, it's for its functionality. So why don't you talk a little bit about on the listing and buying packets, not specific things necessarily, but how that kind of brings the trust full circle.
So when you sit down on a buyer presentation with someone, you're going to explain to them the beginning to the end of what they can expect, when you're going to preview houses, how that's going to happen. I love having people in my car because I like getting the feedback in between the properties that we're looking at. And so it's really important, but I understand like some people, they just want to drive and they want to meet you there. And yeah. I get it. And I believe me, I can get a lot of things done. I can make a lot of phone calls while I'm driving to properties so I can multitask. So one of the things that I do is I just like to have people with me so I can just make sure that I'm understanding everything that they're wanting.
Well, and it kind of goes into relationships, right? And that's kind of another point that we're talking about right now and building those relationships. So you get more of an opportunity to get to know them a little bit better, right?
Absolutely. And, you know, a lot of things have happened. And when we talk about relationships versus a transactional relationship or just a transactional transaction, basically, it kind of goes back to, you know, when COVID happened, it was very difficult. You were with me several times as I was taking people through properties on my phone through FaceTime. And we were looking at things, measuring everything that they wanted measured to see if their furniture was going to fit here and fit there.
I was your doorman back then, opening doors.
Yeah. You did a great job, by the way. And sold a lot of properties, you know, off of FaceTime and didn't even meet the folks until after they moved to the community. And that was after the transaction. But when you continue to follow up with them, you know, you build a relationship even after the transaction, which is really important. I think that's one of the things about this business that I've always loved is all the friendships and relationships that I've built over the years.
Yeah. So. And you know, the relationships are great. And like you said, friendships, but you know, speaking to building your business, what is one thing that you do after the sale that keeps that relationship alive?
Well, I continue to invite them to things such as events. You know, when we're putting on an event, I want them to come out and see us. I want to go by and visit them. You know, they're in their new home. They're usually really excited after they've bought a house and they want to show it off and they want to show you the improvements that they've made. But just following up with them, you know, and a phone call, just checking in with them. But we do a lot of follow-up, you know, with our clients, but going and being in the space that they're in is the most important and inviting them to things.
Well, and another thing too, versus transactional versus creating a relationship is Zillow leads and things of that nature. So people have probably thoroughly exhausted, you know, they feel like they thoroughly exhausted some options. They found maybe one or two that they like, and then you get a call and then what? How do you kind of foster that relationship?
So, you know, that's really funny that you asked that because, you know, you've heard me on the phone, you know, when we're driving down the road and I get a call from someone and they want you to drop everything and go show them a house. And that's not really how I work. You know, I have a million questions that I like to ask because I like to get to the bottom of really what they want. They've seen something. However, you know, as a realtor, I know of all these other listings that they haven't even considered or thought of because they don't even know that they're getting ready to hit the market for one. That's just true. And two, there could be something else that maybe based on a few things that they told me, I know that that house isn't going to work for them, but that doesn't mean I'm not going to show it to them because I need to get in front of them. And so I definitely want to get in front of them. And the only way I can do that is go ahead and schedule an appointment for them to take a look at it. And, you know, they're key things that we need to find out, you know, we need to find out if they've been, you know, pre-approved, you know, so there are things that we do to make sure that we're not strictly wasting the seller's time as well as the buyer's time.
Well, let me ask you this. So let's say a Zillow lead or something like it has contacted you and they just want to see a house and they don't want to answer all these questions. How do you handle that situation?
Well, I don't drop what I'm doing and go show it. I'm going to ask the questions. If they don't want to answer my questions, then that client isn't for me.
Gotcha.
Now, I know a lot of people that are listening are going to go, I can't believe she just said that. She's not going to go show that house. Well, I'm sorry, my time is worth something and I'm not going to drop what I'm doing when I'm asking, because I'm a professional for one. This is what I do. I need to have answers to make sure that I'm pointing people in the right direction. And when people don't want to meet with you for those reasons, then it's really hard for me to want to stop what I'm doing to go drop and go show a house when I don't even know if they're credit worthy.
Right.
You know, and two, safety. Safety is an issue as well. I mean, there's a lot of things that, you know, as an agent, you just have to be very careful what you do and how you do it.
Well, and I think, too, that's how new agents can kind of get worn out really quickly, because they just go show this person the house. Well, it was completely wrong for them, but they didn't know because they didn't ask enough questions. And well, so then they do that over and over and over again, and they get worn out really fast.
And, you know, I'm not going to tell you that, you know, when somebody calls you immediately and if they're willing to answer some of your questions and send you a copy of their pre-qual letter or allow you to put them with the correct lender, you know, and get that ball going, that we're not going to go show the property. That's not true. We will. Because I want to get in front of them because I want to help them. I want to work with them. But at the same time, I do need to get some information. You know, we've got to make sure that, you know, that it's a good situation for all parties, for the seller, you know, that has the property listed,
yeah,
as well as, you know, protection and that they've been qualified to purchase. And those are just, you know, smart moves. You know, you just want to make sure that you're setting yourself up well.
Absolutely. Well, we need to pause for a moment for station identification. Where can you find us? Well, we are on YouTube at the Real Estate Experts Podcast and on any of your favorite podcast platforms. So back to our list here. So keeping people informed. Jennifer, why don't you talk on that a little bit?
Well, I think one of the best things that we can do is just over-communicate, for one. But basically, we need to be a resource for people. And so when you go into a listing appointment, you know, per se, you need to have a great painter, you need to have a great electrician, you need to really have a list of great resources for that seller, because potentially, you know, you're going to need to maybe do a few things, you know, maybe some landscaping needs to be done. Same with the buyer, you know, they're buying a house and they don't like the colors of the walls or they need new flooring. There's all these things that happen and they want to make changes. And so we need to be a great resource. People move into the area. They want to know like the best barbecue place in town. And you know, Northwest Arkansas is known for barbecue, right?
That's right.
But we have a great place here.
Now we do, finally. Yes. Love me some barbecue from Kansas City.
Yeah.
So on that, when you, it made me think of one of the things that you do where you actually have the house inspected before you actually list it. That way, you know, the seller knows, you know, all the things that could come up during that process. And then it just makes everything so much smoother. So why don't you talk about that a little bit?
Well, upon listing a property, you want to be, you know, as an agent, especially a listing agent, you want to be proactive, right? I always feel like, you know, one of the things, the reasons why I get hired is because I'm great at negotiating. And so negotiation is key. And so I need to know exactly everything that's wrong with the property and how we need to proceed. Are we going to put money into it? Are we going to shave that off of the price? And so that's really key. You know, once you've got the property inspected, you really know what your next move is. And so I think inspections are key. I think having the house cleaned. I mean, there's just, and again, here's your resources. Here's the things that we're going to suggest, the things that we think need to be done. And just be able to, you know, basically really have a timeline from the time that you list it to the time that it closes.
And so why don't we go ahead and talk about that timeline now on the buyer side of things? Can you kind of give me a quick rundown on that?
Well, you know, buyers actually start looking at property about 8 weeks before they purchase. And so they're in and out of the market. So they'll see a couple of houses, you know, that they see online and they're looking. And then they finally decide after about 3 or 4 weeks, okay, maybe we should take a nibble. And then they make a call, right? And then they got to step through the pre-qual and they get that. So once they get to the pre-qual, you know, then you're going to start looking at properties. And, you know, now, you know, there's more houses on the market, more availability. But at the same time, I'm just going to say, you're going to be looking for that particular house. So you ask lots of questions. There's a buyer's presentation that we personally do and a buyer's packet that we hand out. And we go over it in detail and explain everything that they can expect from the beginning to the end But normally, once you find that house, within 30 to 45 days, they're going to be moving into their new house and they're going to get the keys. It's a very exciting moment. Some people say, okay, now the real work really begins because of the move, right?
Would you say, what percentage would you say the buying process is stressful for clients, and what percentage is it, you know, just kind of just mellow and...
Well, I think it really has to do with how you set everything up. You know, it's just that relationship. Not to say things don't come up, because they do, but if you are walking that buyer through each and every step, it should not be so stressful. I think the biggest stress is going to be the move, actually. So that should be the biggest stress, is just that they actually have to move furniture and carry boxes and relocate their things.
Moving itself can be very stressful.
So, but I mean, hopefully the process isn't stressful. I mean, sometimes there's things that the lender's requiring and expecting, and, you know, things come back on the inspection. But if you really set yourself up, you know, having all those conversations with your buyers about inspections, tell them, hey, no house is perfect, right? And you have those conversations with them early on, then their expectation when you get that inspection report, they're not going to be as difficult to work with because you set it up correctly.
Yeah.
So
setting expectations is huge.
Just learning all those ways of doing that, what to say and how to say it is key.
And the timing of it all. So 7 ways top agents plan their best year ever. So moving on to over-communicating with your clients about what's going on with their home, the transaction, the situation. So can you talk a little bit more on that?
Well, I just think it's important that you actually communicate with your seller or your buyer and just over-communicate. But at the same time, if you're calling them, then they're not frantically calling you. So for instance, if you have a certain day of the week that you've told your sellers that you're going to be in communication with them, I would suggest that you know, I always under-promise and over-deliver. So maybe I'm going to call them twice a week, right? So, but they know on Tuesday at 3:30, they're going to get a call from me and they're going to get all the news that they need to know for the week. But then on Friday, maybe I'm going to call them as well and just touch base with them. And so they might save their questions for me. Knowing that Jennifer's going to call me.
Instead of reaching out to you at 11:30 at night.
Exactly. Exactly. So, you know, when you think about having a work-life balance, we can control that. I know that a lot of agents go, no. You don't know the people I work with. Well, you can. You can control it. You set the scene and you teach people how to treat you.
You know, it kind of reminds me of my son being born. I know this is super random, but the doctors in small town Kansas, which is where he was born at, do not like to work on the weekends. And so Monday, the appointment was, hey, you're getting close. Like, let's go ahead and schedule this sucker. So, you know, I mean, but it kind of reminds me of that. Like, if you get ahead of it and you understand, you know, of course, a little experience helps, but going through the processes and get ahead of it, then you can find that work-life balance for sure. So, let's look at developing relationships with agents in other markets for referrals. So talk on that a little bit.
So one of the keys, I mean, you want to think about, you know, for 2024, you know, building your pipeline basically, and you know, having other avenues of income and having great relationships with other agents is really a great way for you to network and to do referrals. So our business is based on, you know, we do a lot of business and referrals, and I have established a lot of great relationships with some awesome agents in a lot of other areas that I continue to do referrals with over and over and over, simply because they take such great care of people. But I do interview agents. If I have a client who's going to be relocating to another area, I will call. If I don't have someone in that area, I will call and I will interview the top agents in the area that I know have great experience, they're knowledgeable, and I will interview them based on what I think my client needs.
Well, and I think that goes to your experience as a broker too. You're used to interviewing agents to come onto your team.
Absolutely.
And so if you are a solo agent out there, maybe ask your broker to get a little help with those kind of situations. Now, what kind of situations have you put yourself in to get to know people regionally or nationally to send referrals?
So the great thing at Keller Williams is, you know, we're global. So I can actually go on their website and see agents and their productivity and all that information. In the past, I will just have to say that the one nice thing that I've always been able to do is just based on all my designations and education is, you know, back in the day, I keep saying I had to show up in class, right?
Right.
And so, and I had to be there and I had to be present. And so they were great networking opportunities. And I couldn't just always do everything in one particular location. So these classes were offered all over the states in different areas. And so I would always travel. And so getting to know people in different regions and different areas was very important. And been to several things. So the National Association of Realtors, their conventions, and all of the things that they do as well is key. But CRS, GRI, all of those designations really did play key in me meeting a lot of new people.
Yeah. Not only educating yourself, but getting to know other people in other markets.
And agents who were bettering themselves too and becoming educated. And so, you know, the people that take the training and the classes are usually a little bit sweeter on the job and show up and do the job. So
very good. Moving on to the next one, setting specific goals. So why don't you talk a little bit about that?
So I think a lot of times when people first start hearing goals, the first thing that they think about is numbers. They want to talk about the numbers, like, okay, is it so many transactions or how many dollars am I going to make? And I think we really have to just look at the whole picture and say, so who do you want to work with? Who's your client? How are you going to show up for that client? What are you going to be driving? What are you going to be wearing? And how many houses are you, you know, if you're in a certain niche, what does that look like? And then definitely discuss your financial goals as well. But then you've got to think about, so what daily actions am I going to take to establish that goal?
Yes.
Right? But really think about who you're going after. What type of client are you? Do you enjoy working with engineers, or do you like to work with the party animal that likes to be out late on Friday night? Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's up to you. What personalities are going to click with you?
Yeah.
Because what personalities click with you, it's going to feel good back to them. Right. So it kind of goes back to love languages too. A lot of times you can, you know, read that book, The Five Love Languages.
So true.
And it, you know, so the things that you do for other people and the thing, you know, it just kind of goes back and forth.
There's personalities that mesh with everybody.
Absolutely.
And so you got to find that. Yeah.
Right.
Very good. So going on to the next one, know what networking opportunities are available and that best suits your goals. So what are some networking opportunities that you have chosen over the years to kind of make this happen?
So I've been involved in many different organizations. So I can't say that some of the things that I've actually done have been networking opportunities. Like one is, you know, Salvation Army. I love Salvation Army and everything that they do. But I've met I've had incredible people on the board with me that I worked with, and I've done transactions with them, obviously. Hospital Foundation, YMCA board, you know, some things like that. But, you know, Seroptimus, Rotary, those are just great networking opportunities. Recently, BNI, you know, is a great networking opportunity. You and I have had Topgolf doing networking opportunities to meet new people and get to know people. And so your Chamber of Commerce, you know, Lions Club, all of those things are great networking opportunities. There is a gentleman here in Northwest Arkansas, Jason Alexander, that has actually taken it one step further and having networking opportunities for agents, title companies, mortgage brokers, and it's really a great opportunity for us to get better acquainted with each other. And so, because I think those are great connections for us realtors to have better relationships with one another and helping us be more successful.
Yeah.
So I think all of those are great. But keep in mind, not, you know, everyone's personality is a little different. So, you know, some of you are saying, hey, I'm not an extrovert. You know, that sounds great for you, Jennifer, but maybe that's not me. And you happen to know me really well.
Yeah.
So what would you call me? What is my personality?
Oh, you're
Jacob?
Definitely an introvert.
There you go. So do I show up though?
Yes. Oh, yes.
So the key is, I think sometimes some of us, we want to label ourselves or tag ourselves with something And, but we don't want to show up. Yep. And so the key is, now I'm not going to say that every person needs to do exactly what I do. I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is that you can put yourself with 4 to 6 people and still have a great conversation. So, yeah. So you can do, NWA has a social club for ladies. If you're a mom, there's lots of activities. Some ladies do a certain walk at Kohler Park at certain times of the day. Those are another great opportunity. So, and every community has those.
Why don't we talk about the last and final point, incorporating learning into your daily routine. I think that actually kind of goes back to what you were saying earlier about what are you going to do daily to hit your goals? So continuing education and learning. So talk more on that.
Well, this is just one of my favorite things is that I have a lot of people that I like to watch, you know, on YouTube. And I also like to listen to different podcasts and different things that really speak to me and that kind of boost me just a little bit. So I think first thing in the morning is just, it's my time. I get up way before you, right?
Yep.
Like way before you.
Yep.
And I want to get my coffee and I want to get things going. And so sometimes when I'm working out, I'm listening. I get a lot more minutes in on that row machine when I'm listening to something.
Yeah.
If I'm not
when
listening.
When you're engaged, yeah.
Yeah. So basically for me, that's just the best time. Sometimes I'm listening to something when I'm putting on my makeup. You know, it just, you know, I can't say every morning is exactly the same, but, you know, it's just trying to get something in the morning. And I know a lot of people, we love to train and we love to go to seminars and we love to do this and we love to do that. But I will tell you that there is a time where you have to actually implement something. And so, and that's key, knowing that there's got to be action steps and then applying everything that you've learned. But I think every day we should be listening or watching something that's going to help move us, make a pivot, make a little change,
like,
do something different.
Like the Real Estate Experts podcast.
Exactly, uh-huh. exactly.
Okay.
So
I typically try to bring a book recommendation to the podcast. And this one actually kind of ties into what we were talking about the network opportunities. So this book is Personality Isn't Permanent by Dr. Benjamin Hardy. It's actually one of his first books. It's a really good book. I'm actually just kind of in the middle of it right now, but the first half of it has been really eye-opening. And it's interesting to me to hear, there's a phrase that it's a little hard to hear for some people, but when you tag yourself as an introvert or tag yourself as an extrovert, then now this is quoting the book. It just comes straight from the book. You actually become dumber.
Dumber?
Dumber. That's what he says in the book. And if you really sit and think about that, it's really true, because what you've done now is you've pigeonholed yourself into one particular thing. Now, we all have our tendencies, extrovert, introvert, but at the end of the day, we've got to get out of our comfort zone, and we're not going to do that if we sit and label ourselves. Well, I'm not going to do that because I'm an introvert.
I have to agree with that. Maybe the word dumber doesn't really resonate with me. I don't really like that term, but at the same time, I think he's making a really good point, because a lot of times, you know, we want to tag ourselves with something so we don't make a change, you know, and it's really easy. It would be really easy for me, I know, to say, well, I really don't like this activity. I don't want to door knock. I don't want to go meet people. I don't want to make phone calls. I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But at the end of the day, how is it going to move me in my real estate business, right? So I still have to do the actions and I have to do the activities. It may not be my favorite thing to do, right? But I still need to do them.
Yeah.
And so, but if I sit there and tell myself that I am an introvert and this isn't comfortable, this isn't my way, that's not going to do me any good. I think one of the best things that we can do for ourselves is boost our confidence in ourselves and just say, you know, this is good for me. I need to stretch myself. I mean, here we are in a podcast. I would have never dreamed in a million years I would ever be doing this. This is so much stretching me that it's uncomfortable, right?
Yes. But then once, and I think it talks about it in this book too. Of course, I blend some books together in my head sometimes. But once you've stretched your mind and your brain cells, they can't ever go back. Like, you have expanded them. You have expanded your knowledge. And it kind of goes back to the phrase of, once you learn something, you can't unlearn it. And so that's the same with, you know, your personality.
I agree. And so there are so many things that we just need to do for ourselves to stretch and to gain some leverage to help propel us into 2024 so we can be successful.
Yeah. Well, very good. Well, our time has come to an end today. Thank you so much for listening. So where can you find us at? Well, we are on YouTube at the Real Estate Expert Podcast, and then wherever you find your favorite podcast. So thank you again for listening, and we look forward to talking to you next week.